Oh my goodness, dear friends, welcome to season one, episode one of the Bad Yogi podcast. It's officially official now. I kind of dabbled a little bit over the past few months with little mini-episodes? What's a cooler way of saying that? Anyway, I experimented a little bit with shorter episodes, kind of bite-sized things for you to listen to and take in, and I love doing that, but I also want to have a more structured, official season of the Bad Yogi podcast, and this is season one. Now, if you're new around here, my name is Erin Motz. I'm the co-founder of a company called Bad Yogi, and we have been redefining yoga culture since the beginning. I mean, we've been around since 2013-ish, and kind of came up at a time where yoga was really self-righteous, really snooty. There was a certain group of people who believed that they were doing it right and their way was the only right way. And we really wanted to challenge that and bring yoga to more people, because I really believe that yoga is not just for the people who want to become these spiritually enlightened individuals sitting at the top of a hill with not a care in the world. I mean, yoga is really, I think, more useful for people living in the real world, you know, people with real stress, people who get pissed off in traffic, people who have a job that occasionally stresses them, people with partners, with children, who are single, people who deal with life as it is. And so that was kind of the goal with Bad Yogi. And around here at this podcast, you can expect to hear about all things yoga, wellness, lifestyle, and anything that falls in between. Of course, occasionally I'll talk about a Bad Yogi perspective on real world happenings, but for now, for today, let's keep it in the yoga and wellness space, you know. And one of the things that I think is really appropriate for this time of year is talking about goals and aspirations and affirmations and intentions and all of these buzzwords that we hear a whole lot about. What I find interesting is that, I'll be honest with you, I totally am the kind of person that sets intentions during the new year or before the new year, and I usually stick to them moderately well. But I think in order to set intentions, you kind of have to have an idea of what you want, right? Like, if you have no idea what you want for the year or in your life, setting an intention is going to be pretty impossible because you don't even know where to begin. And I got an interesting email a few days ago that I thought would be a great place to start, because for one, I have been in the same place that the person who wrote in is in. Her name is Nadine, by the way. And I've been here. At times, I still feel like I'm in that space, and I have a feeling that a lot of us are swimming in these waters. So I'm going to kind of paraphrase. Bear with me if it's a little choppy as I read this. So this is from Nadine, and she says she's been thinking a lot about her purpose over the past few months and basically thinking about what drives her. She says, who do I want to be? And if I need to even lay that out, I'm trying to figure out how I would even answer the question, how would your life be in 40 years? Or what's your life goal? Or what, or if I even need to answer that, she says. So she asks me, when you were defining your goal of becoming a full-time yoga teacher, how, you know, was that a long-term goal or a life goal? And how did you know it? Did you see yourself teaching yoga or leading Bad Yogi as a businesswoman in 30 years? So her current answer to her question is that she wants to be happy, healthy, and loved, and have a place to sleep, but only because she can't think of something else that's more specific. And she says she doesn't want to just say, well, I don't have any goals or visions, because that doesn't sound right, you know? But basically, what would help her focus more on these goals in life, you know? How do you do this without wasting time? Like, how do you not have a specific goal without wasting time? So I think, first of all, I'll say that I have 1,000,000% been in this situation before, as I think many of us have, as I said. I'll start by talking a little bit about my experience, and then I'll move into a little bit more detail on the question itself, because I find this topic really, I'm really interested in this topic. So for me personally, when I decided to become a full-time yoga teacher, it was kind of out of necessity, because I had always taught yoga part-time, like from the time I was 17 years old, through high school, through college, even when I got my quote-unquote real job in finance, I always taught part-time. It was really what I enjoyed doing. And when I discovered that I was very miserable in my real adult job in finance, I was like, I've got to get out of here. I mean, there's no way I can spend any more time doing this work because I hate it so much. And so really, teaching yoga full time was born out of necessity. I was like, well, the only thing I enjoy doing and the only thing I could make a little money doing is teaching yoga. So I guess I could try to do that on a full time basis. And I just hustled my ass off to get as many classes as I could so that I could teach full time. And I did. So, and I really was fulfilled by that for a long time. And so I think, yes, it was a goal. It was a dream of mine, but it really was more a short-term goal. It wasn't like when I first started teaching yoga, I decided, boom, this is it. This is my life's calling. I want to do this forever and ever and ever. And what I think is more important than knowing what you want to do forever and ever and ever is staying curious forever and ever and ever, being open to experience, being open to change, which I know is difficult. Being open to those things is more important than knowing what your life's goal is. That's a big, kind of ridiculous question, I think. As far as how I see my life unfolding in 30 years, I'll be honest with you, I don't have an extremely sharp, clear picture of that. I have an idea of what I want in the next 10. I have a very vague idea of what I'd like my life to look like in 30 years. But as of now, if you ask me, do I still want to be running Bad Yogi in 30 years, I would say yes. But I think it will evolve over the next several years. And it might evolve into something a little different. It might change. I'm aware that this entity is kind of its own thing. It is fluid. It has a life of its own, and I'm just listening to it. So I'm guiding it. We're leading it. We're at the helm of this thing, but it is also telling us what it wants, and the community is telling us what they want for it. So there's a lot of moving parts, and I think life is very much like a business in that sense, where we can have a vision, we can have a desire for our lives, for what we want them to look like, for what we want to have within them. And all of that is great, but we can't always determine the exact path that we'll take to get to those points. You know what I mean? So with Bad Yogi, if I say I want to reach 1 million people, I'm just making up a number, I want to reach 1 million people, and these are the steps I see taking to get there. Well, all of that is great, but with each step I take, there might be detours that are necessary to get me to the next one, and I have to be flexible enough to go with the flow of that. So I think while it is important to have goals, I actually think it's more important to have short and midterm goals than very long-term goals. So I think having an overarching picture, vision of what you want your life to be in the long term is good. Midterm goals are really important, but short-term goals are even more important because the short-term goals determine what your action steps really are. And the only way to reach any goal is to take action. So I think short-term goals, we need to pay a lot of attention to, okay, what do I want in the next year, 2 years, 3 years? How do I craft that into reality? I've heard a few times recently, actually kind of an interesting perspective that I had not heard until now, that it kind of goes with this. And do you guys know who Gary Vaynerchuk is? I might even not be saying his name correctly, but he is an entrepreneur, a hyper, hyper active individual. I mean, this guy is like intense to a degree that most people cannot even understand. He is like high up there all the time, like in energy and intensity, and he curses a lot and he drops the F-bomb like every other word. Totally not my, like, not the kind of person I would resonate with usually. But he, along with a few other people, I've heard say this recently, so it's worth repeating. Basically that people spend too much time focused on long-term goals, right? People spend too much time thinking about, oh, what do I want in 20 years, in 30 years? How do I want my life to be? That kind of keeps you, the idea is that that keeps you with your head in the clouds a little bit. You're living too much in the future. Whereas how can I make the next 5 minutes really awesome? Now 5 minutes is really, really short term, but you know, that's his extreme version of it. But how can I make the next 3 months really awesome? Like, what habits do I need to implement to make that happen? Or what changes? Or what dreams can I put in place, put in motion to make the next X amount of time really, really epic. So I don't know, that is a different perspective on the whole what do you want your life to look like in X amount of time, that maybe if we don't have specific answers, that's not such a bad thing. Now, that said, from a really practical perspective, I actually think that goals like, and I say this with love, Nadine, and anyone else who expresses the same sentiment, but goals like to be happy, healthy, and loved, those aren't exactly goals. I mean, they are kind of, but I think I, at least for me, what I have found most helpful and effective when it comes to planning and goal setting is to be really excruciatingly detailed about what my goals are. So if I want to be healthy, right? I don't just say I want to be healthy. I really think about what that means. And so I'm using health as an example because it's one that pretty much all of us want, you know, who doesn't want to be healthy, right? So we want to be healthy. Well, what does that mean? And ask yourself, what does that mean to you? For someone, that might mean, my cholesterol is way through the roof. I got to get that under control. And then you work backwards and figure out how you get that under control. For others of us, it means I'm really addicted to sugar. How do I get that under control? And you work backwards. For others of us, we just think, I don't really do enough physical activity. How can I work that in? So what is it that you mean by healthy? What is it that you mean by happy? Happy is another kind of slippery slope one to me, or maybe not slippery slope, but it's kind of slippery, I'll say, because happy, I think happiness is something that we have to pursue constantly. I don't really think that anybody who is quote unquote happy just naturally wakes up every day and is happy all the time because they're just happy. Maybe some people are like that, but most people are not. Happiness is something that you have to cultivate, that you have to pursue, that you have to work at. And again, asking yourself, what does it mean for me to be happy? And a lot of times, oddly enough, things that you do in order to make yourself happy in the very short term can make you a little bit irritated or annoyed. So what's interesting is for me, in order for me to be happy, I need to be productive. And sometimes I don't feel like being productive because I'd rather be lazy, but being lazy doesn't make me happy. So I have to really discipline myself to say, no, today I decided I'm gonna film X amount of classes. And I know I'll be tired, and then I also have to record my podcasts, and then I'm gonna go to the gym, and I gotta make sure I get to the grocery store too. That's a really productive day. Granted, that's an intense day. I don't do that much in a day usually, but let's say that's what I put down, or half of that. If I do half of that while I'm working, oftentimes I'm like, ugh, I'd rather just be sitting and doing nothing. But after I'm done, I am so happy because I've pursued this thing that I know is good for me, that I know I wanted to do ultimately. So I think when we get too high level in our goals, in our thinking about what our life's purpose is, we can lose a lot of the detail that you need in order to make an actionable plan to get there. And I think a last point I guess I'll make is that having a life's purpose is also an ideal that we need to let go of. I mean, really, most people, and I know there's a few people that, you know, pretty much since you were a toddler, you knew exactly what your purpose was. You knew what you wanted to do. You knew what you loved. You knew the type of work or stuff you wanted to get your hands in. Like, that was always who you were. But for most of us, that's not the case. For me, that certainly wasn't the case. I should not have the life I have now, by all accounts. I was like a mediocre student. I was a good writer, but like, that was it. That was all I had going for me. I wasn't very motivated ever. But I just kept following my curiosity, and that kind of led me to this place. And I put hard work behind it when I needed to. But the idea that we all have a life's purpose is that is singular and passionate is a little bit flawed because a lot of us will have more than one purpose in our lives. So don't get hung up thinking about, well, what is my life's purpose? What do I want to be doing today that I'll still want to do in 40 years from now? No. most of us are going to evolve, because if you're pursuing growth, if you're pursuing development, if you are constantly learning and seeking and striving and creating, your passion will change and will evolve as you do. So don't think of it like that. Don't think of your passion as singular and permanent. Think of it as fluid, as changing. Your passion will wane sometimes. Sometimes it won't exist at all. Other times it'll be stronger. So we have to understand that it is fickle, and that's okay. And what you might be passionate about today might be completely different in 10 years, and being open to that change, because it'll be something that's led by you. And it won't make it any less valuable. It doesn't make it any less useful to consider. But we really need to think about the idea that we're multi-passionate people by default. I heard another great illustration of this idea from Elizabeth Gilbert maybe a year ago or so. And she talked about how there are two kinds of people. But okay, we're generalizing. Let's just assume we're generalizing. But there are two kinds of people. There are jackhammers. And these people have known what they wanted to do since day one. And they will just go at this thing forever and ever and ever. It is who they are. It's what they do. It is their nature. And that is it. And they're effective and they're strong and all of this. And then the other kinds of people are hummingbirds. And hummingbirds will go from this flower, they get what they need from it, and then they don't need that anymore. They go somewhere else and they pull a little from here. Then they go to this third location, they do this for a little while, and then they go back to the first one maybe, because now that they've had these other two things, they can incorporate it into the, you know. And I think one is not better than the other, but we all can relate to different elements of this, right? Or maybe you're a hummingbird, but then when you find something that you really enjoy, then you're a jackhammer for a certain amount of time. And I think this idea is a really beautiful illustration of those differences. That, listen, you do not need to answer the question, how should my life be in 40 years? You don't need to answer that question, especially in great detail. I mean, do you want to be, in 40 years, I hope I have a family. I hope my life is generally happy and I'm not too stressed out all the time. Like, okay, yeah, we can all kind of like make a general vision board of what we want our lives to look like in a few decades. But really, we need to be focusing on the more short term, because the more short term is how we get to the long term. So I would say that for those of you who are feeling like you're wasting time because you don't have specific intense passions at this point, to not worry about it too much. To instead think about what makes you curious. What kind of piques your interest? It could be anything. It could be something in a professional field. It could be something totally creative. It could be something random AF. What are you curious about? And go follow those threads, because ultimately curiosity is what leads us to passion, especially for those of us who aren't born with a singular focus, who aren't born with like, oh my God, this is what I've been meant to do my whole life. You've got to just find what you're curious about. And that's how I have gotten to where I am. Not that I'm like the pinnacle of success or anything, but I have a certain degree of fulfillment in my life, and I find myself extremely blessed and fortunate to be able to do what I do. And it's all because I just kind of followed where that curiosity led. When I was a teenager and I decided like, oh, yoga, that sounds a little different. Nobody does yoga, but I want to do it. I'll try it. I'll see what it's about. And fell in love with it. A couple weeks later, teacher asked me if I'd be interested in teaching her class when she left, and I was like, oh man, I don't know about that. That seems intimidating, and I'm so young, and everybody's gonna be older than me. Well, I mean, I guess what's the worst that could happen? Okay, sure, I'll try that. I think, and of course, there's a domino effect of everything else happening, but I think there's a lot of power in letting yourself be drawn by what pulls you. So be in charge of your life overall, but when it comes to your creativity, your curiosity, finding what you want to do in your life, how you want to spend your time, let yourself be led a little bit, you know, by your curiosity, by your thoughts, by things that intrigue you. Ultimately, that's what will get you to where you want to go. So what I would encourage you to do now is to grab a pen and paper or open up your notes on your phone, whatever is easiest, and take a second to think about what would make the next 30 days really great. And I don't mean like win the lottery, you know, I mean something that's within your control. Maybe it's something like get a massage or go out on a date with your partner or meet your friend for a glass of wine or watch the two of the movies you've put in your queue on Netflix, you know, even if it's not that, or journal every day for 5 minutes or meditate twice a week. It doesn't matter, but really take some time to think about this for yourself. Think of your high level vision, if it's happiness, if it's wealth, if it's connecting with a friend, I mean, whatever the case is, healthy. Right? Whatever your high level picture is, like what's the first thing that pops into your mind as a goal? Okay, then work backwards. Healthy. I want to be healthy. What does that mean for you? Does it mean doing yoga every day? Does it mean doing cardio once a week? Does it mean cutting back on caffeine? Work backwards from that big picture goal and see where you land. And as you go, you can even see if you can extend this out. So is it that's 30 days? Can you multiply this for 3 months? Or does your 3 month goal look a little bit different? Would the actions in a 3 month period look a little bit different? What about 6? What's something that you've been curious about, that you've been dying to try, that you could just try? I actually ordered a on I think it was after Christmas. After Christmas there were some sales on Amazon, and I got a workbook, a calligraphy workbook, and like a few pens. Total, it cost me like $11, you know. And I'm still waiting for it to arrive actually, but I'm super excited for it to come because I'm like I've always wanted to be able to write really well and to illustrate things because I'm not an artist really. I don't consider myself an artist, but that's just something that I've wanted to try because I love writing and I love letters and words, and this kind of fuses a few different interests. So it doesn't have to be deeply cerebral, or it doesn't have to lead you to this like career in calligraphy, you know, or anything like that. But do you have you wanted to try kickboxing? Go try it. Have you wanted to try snowboarding? Where can you try it? You know, be open to the possibility that you can make this happen. So this little exercise is what I'm gonna leave you with today. I hope you enjoyed the show. It's a show now. I'm gonna call it that. Did you like this episode? If so, definitely get in touch. Head to badyogi.com. You can reach out on our contact page or email me at help@badyogi.com. I'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, what you want to hear about next, what you want me to chat about next. Always open to your ideas too. So that's all for this time. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. It really means the world. Now go out, have an amazing rest of your day, and I'll see you guys right back here next time.